time for the Travel Camel catch-up.
Yeah, so Shane, we're catching up with him, the Travel Camel, once again. We do this regularly on the show. He's been in Africa of late, where one of the world's greatest natural phenomena is happening as we speak.
Yes, it's called the Great Migration. And it occurs at this time. It starts maybe a week or so ago, and it occurs on the Masai Mara area of Kenya.
All right, so why does it happen at this time every year? What's the significance of it?
Okay, it all relates to food supply. And so the Masai Mara National Reserve is attached, well, it's forming part of the same ecosystem as Serengeti National Park, which is in Tanzania, which is the larger of the two. So what happens is this huge amount of animals, there's 2 million of them. Most of them are wildebeest. There's quite a few zebras as well and a few other different types of antelopes as join this migration. And what they do is they go in search of food. So as they're going around Tanzania, and you can gather with 2 million animals, they're going to eat a lot. So they'll eat until the grasses and the food they're eating is empty or has dried, and they keep moving. And then, come about July, it is time for them to head north because everything in the Serengeti is virtually devoid, that there's not enough for them to live on. So that's when they head into the Masai Mara National Reserve and the surrounding areas. And they stay there until about September, October. If it rains, then they tend to stay, as was last year. It rained. We had late rains in Kenya. So they stayed until November. But generally, if there's no rains, the food supply is exhausted sometime in October, and they all start heading back into the Serengeti.
It must be amazing to witness.
I always want to do this, yeah.
Yeah. It's, so many animals. I mean, looking at the geography, I mean, how far away is the Masai Mara from the Serengeti?
Well, they do join each other. Okay, so the border of the Masai Mara National Reserve and Serengeti National Park is actually the border between the two countries. But you're looking at an enormous area. It's many hundreds of kilometres. So if you were to start at the Masai Mara, I've observed this before. So you can go to the far north end where some of the conservancies are, which in my opinion are the better areas to watch the wildlife. And you can then drive south. You can drive for many hours and still not get really that close. You can get closer to the border, but you still have quite a fair way to go. And Serengeti is far, far bigger than the Mara area. So it's hundreds and hundreds of kilometres they will travel. It is quite a journey.
How long does that journey span? Does it vary, or is it, you know, pretty much on the dot the same time every year?
It does vary on the rains and the food supply. So if their food is in the Serengeti for longer, there are more rains there, they'll come later, so they'll come towards the end of July. If their food supply has run out in Tanzania, they'll come in early July. It's one of the reasons why when people are thinking of the Great Migration, my recommendation is, even though the peak season for rates and everything is July 1 to October 30, I tell people definitely don't do early July, because remember a few years ago, when it was particularly wet in Tanzania, I know some people who went in the first couple of weeks of July, so they paid peak rates and there was no migration. So you need to go the mid-July later, and then they'll stay here until the food supplies run out, and then they'll circle and head back south again.
That'd be a disaster if you paid all that money and you didn't catch the migration, wouldn't it?
Devastating. A little bit like people who go and watch the Northern Lights and don't see them.
I know, it's a bit of a downer. So I asked Shane, what is the best plan when it comes to viewing the Great Migration?
Okay, now I've said this before a few times, that your choice of vehicle here is critical. And as I've said, let's say if you're in Dubai, okay, let's say you've got a tourist who comes to Dubai, it doesn't matter what hotel they stay in. They can decide to stay on the Palm, for example, some lavish resort, or they can stay in somewhere like Dera or Bur Dubai and something a lot smaller. But the sites within Dubai are not going to change. The Dera Creek is still going to look the same. The Mall of Emirates is going to look the same. The Desert Safari is still going to be the same experience. With a safari that heads out on the game drives, the big difference here is the quality of vehicle you have. And they range all the way from the combi van, which with a little pop-up top. Now, that is incredibly uncomfortable. I have done this before. And then you get your four-wheel drives, the SUVs, and you move up. But all these road vehicles you normally would see on the road and you associate with safaris, they are not the best ones. The best ones are the specially designed safari vehicles, which have a longer wheelbase, a higher wheelbase, and they have open sides. So virtually you are sitting in this specially designed safari vehicle, which is only good for safaris. You wouldn't want to take it on a road trip, for example, because if you've got open sides and wind and dirt and everything can come in. But when you're driving slowly on the plains of the Mara, it's perfect. And for me, it is the only way. So when you're looking at where to travel and who to travel with, have a look at the vehicles they have. So you're looking for specially designed vehicles. Just go to their website, go wherever, and have a look at when they say, we have game drives, what are the vehicles they have? If they have a standard four-wheel drive, that, you know, Land Rover sort of thing that you would see on the streets of Dubai, don't go with them because it is not as good as having a specially designed vehicle. Now, of course, it's going to cost more, but this is something definitely worth paying the price for.
Yeah, if you're going all that way, you don't want to have, you know, a dodgy vehicle that you can't really see properly out of.
No, you want to have the best experience. If you are actually going to fork out and do this,
yeah,
might as well do it properly.
Do it properly. And, you know, the obvious question, how close are we going to get to these animals? I mean, how far away are we from them?
No, there's no real danger involved. And the reason is, you'll say, one of the interesting things, I should explain that, even though they don't make the migration, you will have lions and leopards and cheetahs, especially lions and cheetahs, that will lay in wait, and this is their feasting season. Now, it's quite obvious that a tasty wildebeest, which is much bigger than us humans, is far more satisfying than we sitting in these vehicles. There are crocodiles there that, of course, try to attack the wildebeest when they make the crossing or when they drink for water. These are all famous scenes that you see on TV, but to actually see them, you have to be very lucky because they attempt many crossings, but normally they just come to the water, turn and go back. So you have to be very lucky. But the danger is, I have been on safaris in many, many countries, game drives, and I've had lions literally directly below me when they fences, and they're just not interested in us. The danger really isn't there. The biggest danger is the elephants, the lone male elephant. But if you're with a good driver, they will know when they see the lone male elephant, it's actually time to go. It is actually safer to be amongst a herd of elephants, which is all the females, because herds are female adults only, with their children. It's actually safer to watch that than a lone male elephant, because a lone male is more prone to charge. So, yeah, you get close to the animals, but there's no danger. I mean, if you get out of the vehicle, that's just idiocy and no common sense, and that is a danger. But within the vehicle, you've got qualified guides and drivers, and you just follow their instructions.
Do we need a law for getting out of the car?
I was going to say that.
When we're on a safari.
I wouldn't be getting out of the car.
Me neither.
See the woman in China who did get out of the car, though?
I know.
Oh, that was horrible. After an argument with her partner?
Yeah, they had a fight on
it. They had a fight, yeah. And I think it was a lion that grabbed her, and then her mum got out to help, and her mum ended up being killed by the lion.
Oh, no.
Horrific.
Awful.
Never get out of the car.
Time for the Travel Camel Catch-Up.
Yeah, now, we've been talking to the Travel Camel, of course, in Africa, watching the Great Migration, getting really up close to some of those animals. Personally, it'd give me the collie wobbles, all the getting too close to these animals.
I know, I'd love it.
It's collie wobble city. Anyway, we've been talking to Shane about, you know, getting up close, what we should do. And I asked him, you know, what that feeling is really like when you first witness the Great Migration.
It's absolutely surreal. I'm actually posting photos currently of the Great Migration from when I was there on Instagram, and two people in the same post made the comment, it's surreal. It seems surreal, and it is. It's surreal. I had, before I'd been to the migration, I had been on quite a number of game drives, and I had spent many, many hours and days on different game drives in different areas. In my first half hour on the Mara during the Great Migration, I saw more animals than the entire previous days of game drives over the years put together in literally half an hour. Because there are so many wildebeests, you can get to a point where you can see them snaking up the hill and you can't count them. There are thousands and thousands, and it's such an awe-inspiring sight to see so many animals in on the plains. And because the plains don't have a lot of trees, so there are treed areas, and a lot of national parks are heavily wooded, and so therefore you don't have that long view you can get, that vista of across the plains. In the Mara, the landscape is actually quite unexciting. It's basically grassy plains. But what it does, without a lot of trees, it allows these views where you can view to the horizon. You can look as far as the eye can see, and you can see little black dots, which are the wildebeest, and they just go off into the distance. So it is surreal. It does feel like you have entered a National Geographic documentary.
Oh, bet.
Yeah. I mean, just seeing so many all at once. Mm. you know, across the plains, as he said, all the bison and it must be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, bucket list stuff.
It is. Now, if you fancy trying it out yourself, Shane's actually putting together a great migration adventure himself. So I asked him a little bit about what's in store and also the kind of accommodations you stay in when you go on a great migration adventure.
So what's happened is, because I've been in Kenya for a while now, a couple of years, people keep saying, Shane, show us the Great Migration. So I've spoken to a camp here, and they're called Karen Blixen Camp. Now, Karen Blixen, remember one of the first broadcasts I gave from Kenya was the Karen Blixen Museum,
yeah,
which was a long time ago now. So the Karen Blixen Camp. And the reason I like the Karen Blixen Camp is it has two things. First of all, the vehicles, they have the best. They have equal to the best on the Mara, and I have researched this extensively. Second, they're in a conservancy. Now, people think, what is a conservancy? It doesn't sound as interesting as the National Reserve. Well, this is the secret. The conservancy costs an extra fee. It's actually a lot more. So the Mara at the moment, to enter for a day for a foreigner, is about $80. To enter a conservancy is about $116. So therefore, if you want to go to both, and that's $200. Now, for a lot of people, that is too much, which means that most people who visit the conservancy are only those staying there. Now, there's no more than a dozen accommodation options in the Mara North Conservancy, which means you've only got about a dozen vehicles from a dozen camps looking for the wildlife. The reason this is at an advantage is last time I was there, I saw a lion eating a wildebeest, and there was only two other vehicles with us. Go down to the Mara National Reserve, which is cheaper to get into and has a lot more camps, and I saw a cheetah, and it was literally a traffic jam. There would have been at least a dozen or more, and you couldn't get to see the cheetahs because there were so many vehicles. So the Mara North Conservancy, and my experience in conservancies, because there's less vehicles, there tends to be more animals. And so it's a better wildlife viewing experience. So the Karen Blixen Camp, it's a full luxury camp, wooded full floors, has outdoor shower. It is on the banks of the Mara. They have 22 tents. I chose them because they're in a conservancy, therefore less traffic and more animals, and also because they have a night game drive, which you can't do. That is an amazing experience because animals such as lions are more active at night. So you go and see a lion during the day and they're generally laying back and sleeping, but at night they get very active. And so you get the night drive, which is normally not allowed in the conservancy, and they have the best vehicle for viewing. And as I said, I am particularly fussy in my vehicle. So the tour is being offered next year for the first week of August, and basically going to stop at that two vehicles, which is 12 people. But since I've offered that tour, people have contacted me to say, can you be my guide for a tour? So I've got one for possibly September this year and another two at different times. So now people are saying to me, well, if you think this is so good, you take us there at another time because we can't make early August. So the trip's only a week. Basically meet and greet at the airport, overnight in Nairobi, take you there, late checkout from the Mara, come back, and you can board the Emirates flight at night directly from the airport and get straight back into Dubai. And so you can have virtually a week off work in the heat of summer and enjoy the grandest wildlife spectacle in the world.
I'd like to do that.
A week off work in the heat of summer.
Yes.
Me too.
The Great Migration. Love to have a go at that. I'm not so sure I'd like to see, you know, the
wildebeest
animals attack each other.
Being dinner.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I know it's a circle of life, isn't it? But yeah. I don't think I'd want to see it.
No. Yeah, I'd rather stay away from that circle.
Even on like National Geographic TV shows, one of the moments where I go, please let him escape.
Yeah.
And obviously they can't escape every time because you don't want the cubs and everyone to die of starvation, do you?
That's right. Yeah.
But do you want to see it?
Yeah. Anyway, check out Shane the Travel Camel on Facebook if you want to find out more details about that incredible trip.